Great to have your company for another edition of Laura and the Parka. The show is brought to you by SolarShore.ie, part of the Waterford Insulation Group, your local solar PV panel installers for the South East. We've got a little bit of a treat for you on the show this evening. Dan Shanahan and Kieran O'Connor are here to mark the 20th anniversary of the 2004 Munster Hurling Final between Waterford and Cork. We're going to relive all the magic moments from that unforgettable day in Turles. Later in the hour, we'll hear from Waterford Camogie boss Jerry Wallace, and we'll also hear from Barry Dunn and Austin Gleeson, ahead of the start of the GAA Cool Camps. So 20 years ago this week, Waterford beat Cork 316 to 121 at Semple Stadium in arguably the greatest ever Munster hurling final. And to relive all the magic moments of that day, delighted to be joined here in the Dungarvan studios by former Hurler of the Year Dan Shanahan and our WLR big match commentator Kieran O'Connor. Kieran, in terms of all the matches you've called over the years, where does the 04 Munster final rank?
I've often said it, Tomás, while 0-2 was brilliant, winning our first Munster in 39 years, what a special day, what a special night in Dungarvan, the whole occasion. But my God, the 0-4, nothing will ever surpass it in my view. Just had everything. And especially Cork, after all the trouncings we got as a young kid, going to a young man going to 82 and 83 and even before that, what we did that day and the whole occasion, the brilliant goals, the quality, the hurling. It was real Samba hurling at its very best. And oh my God, to me, that was to never be surpassed.
Dan, you're in great form that summer. You got 6 goals in that Munster Championship. And I'm going to remind you about your hat-trick goal against Clare, first off, that came in the first round in Turles.
Michael LeBrick takes his shot, but sends it left. And oh, comes off the upright, breaks it down. It's a goal! For Dan, he's dancing with delight. 31 minutes gone, and the big Lisbon man can't contain his emotion. A hat trick in a Munster Championship. Milan did it in the Munster final last year. Dan has done it today in the first round against Clare.
Dan, why did everything click into place for you that summer?
I suppose, to be honest, being honest with you, I suppose key for me coming in was Jerry Fitzpatrick. So he was in 0-4. Three, I wasn't getting much of a look in. I didn't get Munster final game time in 2003. I was disappointed. I wasn't fit enough, I'll be honest with you, and Justin taught me that. So I went away in pre-season with Jerry, worked extremely hard, I suppose, off the field. And really, Justin really took a light to me then. Like, you know, with a good league campaign going into it. I think the league final that year, again, above and on Limerick, performed well that day. But it's just, you get these opportunities, I suppose, you mature a bit, Tomás. And so when you get a good guidance, and I started changing things around to Tomás, I started going into drills with different hurlers that would probably be that tougher to mark at the start of the year too, and you'd have to earn the ball a bit more instead of going through the easy lads and every second ball. So I really opened my eyes. I think Jerry Fitzpatrick, still when I meet the man to this day, I shake his hand and thank him for the opportunity and the work he put into me, like, you know, and to every one of us, to be honest with you, because I think that team really, when Jerry came in, as well as Justin, let's not forget about him, he's hurling, his brain, and the lads with him. But Jerry, for me, set the tone for myself personally away from the field to Moss's in the gym work. It was phenomenal. Like, we wouldn't have done much of that going in over the years going into that, but what Jerry really did, and you couldn't fool Jerry to Moss, because he'd know by your appearance to look at you. If you weren't doing the stuff away from the field, he'd know by look at you. Trust me when I say that. This man was a professional at his job, and we had him previously before. I would have had him earlier in my career. So I would too, Tomás, but when he came in, he'd know by the look here if you were doing the stuff away from the field, and he'd tell you if you weren't, which was so important. If you weren't putting in the effort and training, he'd call you out. In a way, he'd still be your friend, but he'd still call you out. So I found that very, very, very respectful, like, you know, and he set the tone as well as Justin, of course, Tomás.
Kieran, what do you remember about the build-up to that final?
Yeah, really, 0-3 was the one that we felt we left behind. Milan got the hat-trick, as Dan mentioned. I didn't realise now that you actually weren't involved starting in 0-3, but that was a game that we could and should have won. Cork, obviously, the hottest of favourites. The build-up, really, I suppose, I knew what these lads could deliver. But my God, did they deliver. But you had to be, when you look at that Cork team, there's all-stars all over the place. Some of the greats, Brian Corcoran, Joe Dean, one of the best corner forwards of all time, Ben and Jerry, unbelievable, Ronan Curran, Sean Oak, Dermot the Rock, John Gardner, Cusick and goal. Star after star after star. But we had the stars. But to put it all together in one day was the trick.
You mentioned stars there, Kieran. One of the stars was Owen Kelly, and he got a terrific goal in the first half. And here's the commentary.
Owen Kelly has the ball. Ball on his stick. If Ben O'Connor can do it, so can Owen Kelly. Good flick there by Ben's brother Jerry to disrupt him. But Kelly still has the ball. He's coming in the end line. Going through, takes a shot. A goal for Waterford. Kelly has done it. If Dan can do it at one end, the cousin can do it and get a green flag. Great score by Owen Kelly. Seemed to be tripped, hooked there by Jerry O'Connor. Got it on the second attempt. A possible angle it looked from here. Don't know, Cusick could just pick it out of the back of the net. 1-5, 1-4. Brilliant play by Owen Kelly.
Dan, how good was that goal?
Oh my God, unbelievable. I think every young fella should Google it and say the way Owen finished the ball. You know, Owen was a special hurler, to be honest. He had power, pace, size, left and right. He was unbelievable that day. The Cork were leading, as I said there, 1-4-3 before that goal, and they were on top. The way Owen came in the line there, he was never going to be hooked. The power, he ran in and buried it, and it kind of settled us, Tomás, to be honest with you. That goal, we were under pressure at the time, so we were Cork on a soft goal. If you remember, Stevie left one through. I think you said he was blindsided. The sun was in his eyes, but I don't know about that. It was just one of them things where the lack of concentration.
Gavin McCarthy will never get a goal in his life again.
But it was just with Owen's goal that day, Tomás was absolutely phenomenal. So it was. It's just the power and pace he had, but also the brain. Knowing that he was going to be hooked or blocked, the way he threw up the ball in front of him and kind of battled into the net was phenomenal, Tomás.
And then you arrived with goal number two, and here it is.
Ball now breaks to Seamus Prendergast. Ball in his stick, 45 metres out. He's hitting the back to Owen Kelly. He's lobbing it in, looking for the cousin. That's Dan. Dan has gone. Oh, he has the ball in his stick. Shot. It's a goal! He's done it again! Shanahan has rocked in it. Sullivan stood on the ground. Shanahan soared into the air, caught the ball, turned, and nobody could stop him. This man is on fire. Warren it back and back with a bang. 2-5 to 1-10. 26 minutes gone. A Shanahan special.
Dan, what do you remember of that goal?
Being honest with you, like, you know, this Owen had mishit the ball. He was going for a point, and Justin would have always coached me to say, look, always follow the ball in. As you said there previously, we came off the post for the third goal against Clare. If you're there, the boat, you had a chance. But I was on John Garner at the time, and I'd slipped in as well as Sullivan. So the two, I think, was a Flinners or Milan were at one on Sully, but they wandered out the field. And he just came. And when you have two, sometimes Tomás, when there's 2v1, the second fella doesn't know what the first fella is doing. And I just went up and caught it. And I just turned and hit it as hard as I could, because I knew there's a quality goalkeeper behind me in St. Cusack. And again, it's not the I always said this, I said it before, it's not the how good, it's just the timing of the goal, Tomás. The timing of it was so important for us as a team to get that second goal, the comfort, so the bit of comfort we had then going in, because Cork had played some unbelievable hurling that day. Ben O'Connor going in on the line. And if you look back at the video, and if Cork were really been looking back, Ben O'Connor, I think, got a point, and Tom Kinney got a point here in the first half. That goal chance was on there if they left the second ball in. There was a goal chance there. They tapped the ball over the bar, and that for me would have been rude. If that was us, we'd have hand passed the ball in and been ruthless enough. But I think they were happy enough to take the points early on in the game, where that extra pass is on. So we got lucky that way tomorrow. But again, as I said, I would coach any young flame, telling them still to this day, always follow the ball in, because you'll never know. Come off the post, the keeper might drop it, the fullback might miss, and you could be there to just be there on the break and get the timing right, Tomás.
You had a setback at the start of the second half, Dan, a red card for John Milan, and here's how Kieran called it.
Off is the call on our right. Let's hope that's not the case. Hopefully it's a yellow card. We didn't see what happened, Stephen, but there's a Cork defender down. I think it's Brian Murphy is the man who's down. I didn't see what happened, but Sean McMahon is taking him. It's a red card. Would you believe it? Devastation for Waterford. John Milan has been shown the red card.
Dan, what was your reaction when you saw that red card?
I knew the Cork players were very upset about something, Tomás. I honestly didn't see it. I was near John Milan at the time, and I was looking after him a bit, like, you know, because he was getting kind of shoulders from the Cork lads, like, you know, and like, you always look after your teammate. But knowing that John had just previously had got an unbelievable point from play just before the sending off, and I think previous, just before half time, he got another massive point off his right hand side going in there. So I was kind of surprised. I didn't know what happened. I looked at the Cusick coming out with the goal at something, and Brian Murphy on the ground, and, you know, watching the stuff back there, Michael Dignan saw everything. Like, you know, I saw it. He said, I saw it. I could see it, everything. So I didn't see it. No, I didn't see John doing anything to his credit, like, you know. But again, and credit McMahon, he called it. He gave him a red card. And like, Referee Mike Dean Kieran, he was one of the best.
Then that magic moment from the one and only Paul Flynn.
As Paul takes the concentration onto that ball, takes the ball, loads a goal! He's done it again! He's rocked it in and Michael score, and who better to do it? Everyone thought it, the players thought it, the top goalie in the fence thought it, but Paul Flynn didn't. Rocked the back of the net, Wofford go in front, 3-12 to 1-17. Stephen, you didn't even expect that one.
No, I didn't, no, and I know Paul quite well. That was an absolutely fantastic strike.
Dan, what was your view of that goal?
Yeah, again, Tomás, I suppose, being fouled for the free there. And I looked at Flynners, like, you know, and granted, he didn't have the best first half, but by God, he was on song in the second half. He was on song in the second half. And he got 1-5, 1-6 in the second half. He had a point in the first half. An unbelievable score over the far side with the rock on him. And he got a twist and turn of the rock in the first half. But Flynners gave a little glance at the goal. Personally, I was standing in front of the keeper. Sully was on the line with Don Logan. I think Sean Ogus Mac and me at the time. There was not much else around us. And just Flynn, like, he just had a little look. And he just, I would have seen Paul Flynn and Dave Bennett do these in training, dipping the ball. Do you know, before training, we'd go out there 15, 20 minutes, we'd be over in twos, and the lads would be hitting the crossbars or dipping balls into the net. And I would have seen them two, especially doing this in training, how they could top spin the ball. Do you know, and I think Flynn was just that day. The form he was in the second half, I think he believed, and I still do believe to most that he meant it. Do you know? Now Sullivan didn't stop it on the line to he couldn't grip, but I think the distraction of maybe two or three lads in front of Sully, the eye line could have been caught, and to look just Flynners magic to be honest. To Tomás,
did you have to move then as the ball was coming?
No, I just moved my feet a bit here in the way to try. You're always trying to block the vision of your keeper, just to try and distract him. If you're only waving the hurley, it's a distraction because he doesn't know where you get the flick on it. Would they be flicked over the bar? They weren't expecting Paul to go for a goal. Were we acting as possible, Flynners? Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
And the way he finished the ball that day to the net, I thought is, again, timing of the goal and the genius of the man to get the goal was unbelievable.
Kieran, Dan used the word genius there. How much of a genius was Paul Flynn?
Unbelievable. Flynner at his best was the best scoring forward, and I've saved that up to a lot of my Kilkenny friends working up there. The best I ever saw as regards what he could do, and Dan can tell you that. As Dan said, didn't have the best of first half, but my God, when we needed, as Manan walked off, Paul went into another gear. I saw him do it with Ballygunner many a day as well. I saw him do it as a minor, and never be forgotten, 92 Munster final, 3 go. That man had such ability. It's a crying shame, I think, when I look at the All-Star list, he's one All-Star, and there's guys with a lot more that literally wouldn't lace his boots, but we needed him that day. He missed a free shortly after Belang going off, and said, oh my God, but my God, after that, other than that, it was the best 20 minutes Flynn ever gave, 25 for Waterford.
Unbelievable. And looking at the highlights of the game, it's just the scores he got, lads, in the positions he got him in. Like one or two, Paul O'Brien gave him a hand pass on the left hand side, the dugout side in the first half, second half there, and the way he got the ball over the bar. As you said, Kieran, he was a genius. But let's be honest, Cork had their genius, but we had some genius that day. I think Kim McGrath, long range point, just before half time. Seamus Pendergast, winning point.
You're probably at your peak, that panel, really. 98 we could have, 02 we did. I thought 04, this was it. I just think you were at your very, very best. So many of the players coming right the same year. Yourself, Ken, in particular, really went into a new role. Milan, like Flynn, the whole lot just seemed to gel, I thought.
Definitely, and we had the brick too as a younger
John coming through, and
again, I think a lot of what Paul has said, the back, James Murray.
And Seamus Prendergast, the man, totally. While we all had the champagne hurlers, my God, Seamus Prendergast's role, his younger brother Declan Vall, Murray playing well, and Owen Murph. But I thought Seamus was the unsung hero as regards, might not have got all the classy scores and that, but my God, take him out of that unit, because all around him they were skilled to burn, but my God, the round tower from Ardmore never left us down.
You could go through everyone there, Kieran, and go through the brick as the same way, Seamus. Three fellas, if you're a cute forward, you'd be alongside Michael Welsh, Steve Malumpy and Seamus Pinder, because they're 9 times out of 10 they'll come out with the ball. They were the three lads I would have stayed, especially Malumpy again. Steve Malumpy, he would have won the ball, laid off to you, very grateful worker. Same with Michael Welsh. I can't speak highly enough of the lads. You look at Dave Winner, had to get Owen McGrath, which come on and cause carnage, just run into fellas, and that would get you space. He would break a fella, bring a fail. But again, going back to that day, tomorrow, I think it was James Murray's flick, that hand pass, saying Cork were in for a goal, and one of the boys got the, I think it was James Murray got the flick out to Murphy. Seamus Pender got the second point. Yeah. When Seamus got that second point, and he came across the centre forward in so much pain, as in his legs were battered from running.
Yeah.
He jogged into the position centre forward. I think Tom Kinney got the next score. And who'll ever forget, lads, that the ball dropping short, the clear of Kim McGrath making that catch.
Yeah.
Just, with Dermot Sullivan on just, it.
You've set it up nicely, Dan, because here's the closing 80 seconds.
The 15 men of Cork against 14 from Waterford. Waterford lead by one. The time is ticking down. Caught brilliantly by Ken McGrath. A match-saving catch if ever I saw one. Wins a free, it's as good as a score. When you need big men, who better to call on than Ken McGrath? Superb catch by Ken. His dad did it in 82 and 83. His dad was disappointed in 82 and 83. Ken and Owen won't be today. Paul Flynn has gone back to take it. By my stopwatch, it's all over. We play that extra time. The substitution's coming on here at this stage for Waterford. Paul Flynn is going to take it. Jack Kennedy from Ballyduff Lower. Tom Cheese will be proud to see him come on. Paul O'Brien being taken off there. Seems to have got a knock there since he came on. Kennedy of Jim D is out there talking to Justin McCarthy. Everybody's looking at their watch. Paul Dean is lost. Paul Flynn has lost to Hewood. Huge one. Caught under the bar. It's all over. It's all over. And Waterford are monster champions. They've captured their seventh title. And the 45-year wait is over. We've finally beaten Cork since Frankie Walsh and the great men of 59 lifted the title.
Oh,
Dan, where were you in the field when the full-time whistle went?
Full-time whistle went. I think one of the boys went to the Waterford crowd in the top side of the field there where Flynn's got the goal. I went looking for my parents, to be honest with you. Tomas, I went looking. I didn't find them, my parents, but I went looking for them because it was such an unbelievable moment. Looking back in the video there, I see Paddy Joe went to Brian Phelan at the time. And we had some characters in that team and Tomas, but It was just the way we won the game, Tomás. Like 51,000 people there, 14 lads. We stepped up to the mark when we needed for our teammate. And I'm just looking here, Tomás, that you gave us, looking at Justin. What can I say about the man? Do you know? And again, he'd Nicky Cashin, massive influence on the line.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Kevin Ryan did his bit. Jerry Fitz, you'd Shea Fitzpatrick, the physio.
Yeah.
I don't think there were very few injuries that year. Dr. Tom, anything again you wanted, he was there for you. And of course, our team secretary, Jim D. It's more, we are so happy.
There was a great family bond that day, and Tony Morrissey, treasurer, I remember at the time, wasn't well.
Yeah.
And the lift they gave him.
Unbelievable. And that's the bond we had, Kieran. We haven't mentioned Tony Brown there. What a phenomenal servant. You had Owen Murphy, cornerback, Stevie and goal, granted from that mistake, but didn't make another mistake.
No.
His puckouts for me, for a big man in Seamus and Kelly, to get under the ball from Stephen Bernard was unbelievable. Declan Pender had a hard job back on Brian Corcoran, got 2 points, didn't do much in the second half. Unsung heroes, Tomás. Kieran said it there, we had a fellas that got the goals. But for me, these lads were more important than the fellas getting the goals because they were stopping at the other end. But
the hurling, I think, you mentioned Nicky Cashin there and Justin. Justin's fine-tuning the hurling to, as I said earlier, champagne hurling, like it was samba hurling, like it was really, but you had the hurlers to do it. It's grand to have that plan. Like you look at a forward line there, Tomás, just looking at the pro, Owen Kelly, Dan Shanahan, Brick, John Milan, Seamus Prendergast, Paul Flynn. You know?
Something else.
It's it is, and that's with Dave Bennett and Owen McGrath midfield. I think Owen McGrath went into the corner forward, Brick went out midfield. But it's just the camaraderie we had too, Tomás, that like, there was no egos there. We all fought for each other, we backed each other up. Do you know, we people always say they didn't go on to win the big one, but we won enough. We won a lot of big days that day. We to see the crowd that day above in the square.
That's when Munster final was extra special.
Yeah.
Like Clare were beaten by Limerick, and who knows Saturday week Clare, and like that could happen in the past, but it has taken away a bit the whole system now. I think what Munster final that time still is a trophy, and John Kiley and Limerick loved to win it, but when we won that was really very special, you know. And I think Justin and the whole team deserve great credit, Tomás, the lift they give everyone, particularly against Cork. And I forgot I'd said about Pat McGrath. I was there in 82 and 83. Pat McGrath was one of the finest hurlers that never got an All-Star, not a mind an All-Ireland medal, not a mind a Munster medal. Like, he was the classiest hurler I saw growing up.
Kim McGrath would have said that to us in the dressing room, Tomás, where the Cork lads were hand passing balls all the bar back in the 80s. they didn't want to go for goals, and that kind of motivated. We didn't get over motivated, but he, when Ken spoke in the dressing room or any for that, I wasn't a big speaker myself. I just listened to the boys, and you know that had the courage to talk, but would also back it up. And he was telling us that when the Cork teams, as you Kieran alluded to there, that hand passing balls over the bar, Ray comes and he goes full forward. It was easier hand passing.
5:31. I'll never forget it.
It was just for the people of Waterford too.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal, like not only for our clubs but for the people of Waterford, Tomás, to win that game the way we won it. And we won one in 0-2 as well. Do you know, that was phenomenal.
Like beating Tip 0-2, as I mentioned, Tomás, the 39 years, but beating Cork in a Munster final was something very, very special. Not taken from 0-2, but this was it.
Yeah,
the real deal.
Absolutely amazing memories, lads. I could listen to you for another half an hour or so, but I'm actually going to keep you here because I want to pay tribute to Micheál Amara Hurtig. So I'm here with Kieran O'Connor and Dan Shanahan, and we'll have more from them after this.
LR Waterford.